words, it says, kind words cheer up the heart. Pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. A soft word turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. I want us to think about this a little bit, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of my tongue and of your tongue. We would know this, but just so we remind ourselves that kind words breed warmth in the relationship. So wherever kind words are spoken, if we are in a place where those words are given freely, we know that more warmth and more life is created. But we also know that harsh words breed tension and separation. True words build up trust and confidence. When someone speaks a truth over me or around me, I'm built up in confidence. I want to follow through with that. But lies, they break down the trust and they bring in doubt and suspicion, and really confidence can't be found. Life is transmitted. It is experienced. It's multiplied when the tongue speaks in truth and in love. This week, I think overall I was grumpy. It's not often for me. I just felt angst most days. And we're in a big transition within the Gitzel family, and as Terry is moving into a different role, and I found myself having to really stop my words that wanted to just be kind of nasty or grumpy. And it became this actual exercise in my mind to say, Catherine, don't speak these words. Stop them. Because you know the power of your negative tongue. You know the power of your negative word to bring loss of life into the week that we can be having. Negative words, and I read this week, and I actually have found great strength, a new understanding in this. It says that negative words shrink what God intends. So when we speak negative words, we're actually countering what God actually desires, what he intends. So that the words become opposition to what God wants, what God desires to speak to and to speak about each other. And all of a sudden, when I was thinking about my words this week, I thought, I do not want to do anything or say anything that is in opposition to what God's plan is for those around me and around us to hear. That's when we understand that death can come from our tongue. Death suffocates, words suffocate or take the life out of that which God desires. Speaking words of blessing is actually God's design for us. And in Scripture, God blesses people, and then he calls those people who he has blessed to be a blessing, to speak words of blessing to others. In Genesis 12, we read about where God says to Abraham, Abraham, I am going to bless you. I'm going to bless you spiritually, relationally, financially. And then, Abraham, you are going to bless the whole world. You are blessed, Abraham. You are blessed, church and individuals in this church. You are blessed to be a blessing. So God blessed Abraham, and he blesses us. And he blesses us not for our own enjoyment, not so that I can look at my own life and say, wow, look at all the blessings in my life. Look at all the words of blessing that God has spoken over my life. But he blesses me to fill me, to fuel me, so that then I can take those blessings and extend them to other people. This morning we're talking about words, but it's actually anything that we have as a blessing. Financially, if we're blessed, we can use that blessing to bless someone else. With time, if we are blessed, we can use our time to extend a blessing to someone else. But that's why God blesses us. In Psalm 67, it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And in this psalmist's plea, again, it's modeling to us, God, Will you bless me? Will you bless us? Make your face shine upon us so that as we bless others, your ways will be known. Imagine the power of the words that God has given to us when we speak them over another person's life. Imagine the life that comes out of that. And I'm wondering if you can think of a time in your own life where God's word or someone speaking God's over you has had a profound influence on the direction of your life or on just how you have felt about yourself. To think about where God's word has been a blessing to your life. Or can you think of a time when the word someone else spoke to you had a profound influence on your life and your direction? This past year, I read wonderful words from a student that had nominated his teacher for an award. And this student, in his grade 11 year, had been running a race and was winning until the last 500 meters and then was overtaken and lost, came in second. And it was just a real sad, the guy represented this in the letter, it was a really hard time to lose the race like that. But then he talks about in his grade 12 year when he ran that race again, and he talks about the teacher, and this is what he says about the teacher. She was at every turn of that race. In fact, I am sure that she ran more distance than me. I will never forget the words she spoke. Stop looking back. Believe you can win. At every corner in that race, there was this voice saying, forget that which was behind you. You can win. And whether you win or not, that person was in his court, cheering him on, and those are the words, the life that our words can give to other people. God, he gives us this tongue. He gives us our words. He gives us the breath to speak our words. And we are wise if we see these words and this opportunity as a privilege and as a power to speak blessing on other people, to think of that, to think those words that come out of our mouth, we are a privileged and a powerful people to use those words to do good and to extend God's blessing. So there's a little bit of mystery in God's blessing. What exactly is it? What happens? So first of all, a blessing really is an instrument of God's love. When we speak words of blessing over people, we are transmitting God's love over and into that person's life. We have to remember that it's not a prayer, and it's not a prophecy. So a prayer means we're praying for someone, and a prophecy means we hear something from God that we believe is God is going to do in their future. But when we're offering someone a blessing, we're not praying for something, we're actually praying with something. And praying with something that is, which is really God's word, or God's themes or desire for his creation. So we take that which scripture talks about or says it is written, and we take that and we transfer it to someone else. So we're praying actually something over that person's life. It talks about that a blessing is a positive biblical statement that invoked the blessing of God in another's life. So when I'm praying a blessing over Leah, I'm really invoking God to come and do that work within Leah's life. My words are not the source of the power. My words are just sending that blessing over someone else's, into someone else's life. What's really, really beautiful to understand that the blessings of God, when spoken over a person, they begin to take root in people's lives, and then people are changed. So when we're spoken something, let's just say something, someone says to you, I see that you have a strength in teaching the word of God to children. Let's just say that that's a blessing. That blessing, when that blessing takes root in that person, when that person goes to teach children the words of God, that root gets stronger and stronger because that blessing has started. It's planted a seed. And we have the capacity to do that. Talks about, too, that life-giving words, they break the power of a curse and of negativity. So when people have spoken or have received words of curse or words of negativity over their life, when words of blessing are spoken into those places, they begin to take away, to remove those words of curse and negativity. If someone has always heard, you talk too much, no one wants to listen to you, and someone else says the word of blessing, oh, the words that you speak to me are like honeycomb, they're sweet, they encourage me. We're taking away the power of the negativity. We speak the words, and God does the work, and he bestows a blessing. And it's really mysterious. It's very mysterious, this transfer that happens, because God invites us to be the vessel, but God does the work. Throughout Scripture, we read of God bestowing blessing and inviting others then to also pronounce blessings. In 1 Chronicles 23, it says that Aaron was set apart. He was set apart, and his task was to pronounce blessings in God's name forever. That's what God assigned to Aaron. In number 6, it's often the blessing that we say over you, over each other at the end of the sermon. And it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And when we pronounce that blessing over you, and you pronounce it over someone else, really we're calling on the Lord to do. He wants the Lord to bless you, and then to keep you, to protect you, to hold you, to be present to you. And then we ask this beautiful thing about the Lord make his face shine on you. Do we stop ever and think, what does the face of God shining on us look like? It is this radiant face. It is this face of love. It is this face that delights in you. For those of you who have children, I love watching these, how much time and attention newborns get. People are constantly leaning over them and smiling and looking at them and saying words of blessing. That is how God looks at us. That's what God's face shining on us is. And we invite that in that blessing. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Give you peace. God wants us to be that people of blessing, to go forth with the words that we invite God to bless others. He models for us what we can speak over and how we can speak over them. And Jesus also modeled the power of blessing others. One of my favorite stories is in Mark 10, where we meet Jesus blessing the children. It might be familiar to some of us, but it talks about here that Jesus took the children in his arms. In some versions of Scripture, it says that Jesus gathered the children close to him. He placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. And this is another role model, a modeling for us of how we bless people. Often in blessing, a physical touch is really, really important. We can ask a person, is it okay if I touch your shoulder or your head or your knee while I bless you? And again, in this transfer is the mystery of God, that as a hand is laid on someone, that God bestows a blessing that just fills us, fills our every part of our being. In Luke 10, we read that Jesus gave this counsel to his disciple, but he invited them always to bless the house where they went into. And he said to them, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. We're offering an extension of a blessing. We go in, and we say, peace to this house. Imagine if people started walking into your house, and as they were walking into their house, they said, Tony, peace to your house. Leah and Blaine, peace to your house. Ellen, peace to the Otterbein home. What does that mean when it's spoken over top of us? We would receive that. We would be desirous of that in our homes and in our lives. And then this week, I was reading about it, and I was just so deeply moved by it, that it says that Jesus' last action on earth was a blessing. He spoke a blessing. We read in Luke 24 that while he was blessing them, he left them, and he was taken up into heaven. And those who would have been surrounding him at that moment, they would have heard with their ears this blessing that Jesus pronounced on them. And I believe they would have held it. And so his last act on earth was to speak a blessing. And just a little earlier in Luke 24, when he had come into the room after the resurrection and the disciples were afraid, the people were wondering what was going on, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And so really we can say that some of the very last words of blessing that Jesus spoke were blessings of peace. Peace be with you. Peace to this house. Peace be with you. The peace of God come to you. And what is peace? When we pass it on as a blessing, what is the peace of God? And it says that God's peace is a guardian that preserves the soul in the same way that a guard stands at his or her post. It's a place of permanency. That guard is not allowed to leave that post for any reason. If you've ever gone to London, England, most of us try to joke to get those guards outside those castles to just shift a little bit. But they're not allowed to move there from their post. That is what God's peace is. It's a guardian. It's the guard to our souls and our hearts. God's peace, it invites wholeness of our spirit, of our soul, and of our body. It's not just a feeling of peace. It's peace that flows through us completely. Peace can become an aspect of our individual being or of our personality. Then we become a people of peace. And it also talks about peace being this security of God in our lives. That when we can go to a place of peace, it's because we can rest in knowing, basically as a song we sang this morning, God hasn't failed us yet. God will not fail us. And so we can rest and be present to that peace of God. That is the blessing. Peace be unto this house. The Lord turn his face upon you and give you peace. Peace be with you. All of us crave a blessing. We read through the scripture, man, Old Testament and New Testament story, people craved a blessing. In the Old Testament, the blessing in families was kind of scarce. It was given to the oldest son. And so you hear Esau at one point saying, "Bless me too, bless me too." Jesus modeled that the blessing isn't just designed for one, it's a blessing for all. And we want that blessing. And our tongues can be the source of that blessing to others. But we also know, as I experienced this last week in intensity, that our tongues can also stop being a place of blessing and can become a place of death, of curse, of negativity. And I was wondering this week again of what stops our tongues from being a source of life. What wanted to stop my tongue this week from being a wife and a mom of blessing? Sometimes it's selfishness. This week, honestly, Terry seemed to be getting more attention than I was. I'll name it. I was a little bit selfish. His parties kept on going, and I wasn't part of any of those parties. It's so lame and immature, but I knew that. When I'd have to stop my tongue, it was because I was selfish. I wanted a bit of that blessing. It can be because we're angry, and we think in our anger that our words can become harsh words, that we're entitled to speak harsh words of anger over something else. As a young mom, a rule that I learned that was so helpful to me was instead of saying to, let's say, Mallory, your behavior is driving me crazy, your behavior is making me angry, I would say, I am choosing to be angry or frustrated as a reaction to your behavior. And I owned it then. It's not her making me angry. It's not Jordan making me angry, Terry, you, anybody. I own that. And I recognize then it was my choice to figure out what mood that I was going to be. We can stop our tongues from being a source of life because we're hurt. And in our hurt, we don't want to give something to someone else because we don't have it. Or we're hurt enough that we don't think that we can offer that person anything. Our attitudes, we can carry an attitude where we are not going to be a point of blessing. We laughed this week in our home that Mallory and Terry, it was a really grumpy week at the Gitzels, but Mallory and Terry had this little thing going on, and she just wouldn't drop her attitude. And so I actually had to gather around my 19-year-old and say, hey, you got to let this go, right? Like, it's no use holding on to this. But her attitude, and then we talked about it later, and she could say it to Terry, when I've got this attitude, I forget how much I love you. That's what our attitudes do. Oh, death of our tongue gets in the way, we forget. Sometimes we have this scarcity mentality that if I bless others, there won't be enough blessing left for me. And so I don't bless others. So if I say thank you for that, maybe no one's going to turn around and say thank you to me. Or if I say I wish you God's very best and God's strength in what you're doing, there might not be enough of God's blessing and strength for me. And so we hold it back and we do not release the blessing. Bitterness can be something that stops us from giving a blessing, to giving words of love. And my responsibility then, or our responsibility then, is to be very, very aware of what is causing our tongues to become a place of death instead of a place of life, and to do the work on that. So if I really can't bless someone else, it's never that person's fault, no matter what. In fact, Jesus gives us the hardest thing, I think, when he says, bless those who curse you. That is no easy ask of Jesus, but he asks us to do that. We can always offer God's blessing over someone's life, even when we can't pray. What we speak is going to bear lots of consequences. In the good, it will be life-giving, or in the negative, it will be hurtful. It will be like death. It will be suffocating. Ephesians 4:29 becomes a really important model for us as well, where it says, do not let any unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. 20 years ago now, more than that, 25 years ago, I was wrestling with really being a person of criticism and critical tongue. I knew that was how I engaged, that I had a lot of criticism, and I didn't want it to be that way anymore. And God brought this verse, and what happened to me, it became my challenge. It became my check mark, which was, Catherine, do not let any unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth. Stop it. That's what you have the power to do. Stop those words and only speak those words which are helpful for building people up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I falter on this, I fail on this, and this is a verse that calls me back and becomes basically the guard against my mouth. Don't let any unwholesome or worthless talk come out of your mouth. I invite us as a congregation to be a people through whom God's blessing flows. I encourage us, especially as Pastor Steve comes. So as Steve comes, I know we're excited, we're looking forward to it, we're grateful that God has blessed us to bring Steve to us. But Steve's going to be new, and there are going to be things that we love and enjoy and gain from Steve. And there will be probably, because he's not perfect, there are going to be things that kind of frustrate us or we don't like or we're not sure if we want to go that way. But may we not be a people where death comes out of our mouth to that new leader that is coming into us. May we be a people of blessing and encouragement. And may we be that to each other. May we seek to find God's words to pray over top of, to give to people. A prayer I found this week that I believe is a prayer we can all pray is this. It says, God, I am astounded that you would confer upon me the overwhelming privilege of being your representative in both announcing and pronouncing your blessings upon others. It's a great prayer of gratitude where we say, God, I am astounded. I stand in awe that you created a tongue in me that can give the power of life or the power of death. And it is a privilege to be your representative in both announcing and pronouncing your blessing upon others. And may that be the prayer that we can speak this week. And may that be the task that we take on. Where your tongue, where my tongue has been a place that has given death or suffocation, may we go out and change that and speak a word of blessing, of truth, of love, of kindness. And may we just seek opportunities where we may speak God's words and God's theme and God's desire over other people. Let's pray as the band comes up. God, I thank you that you created each one of us fearfully and wonderfully and by your great design. And we thank you, God, that in each one of us, you created the gift of words, the gift of speech, the gift of language, God. And I thank you, God, that you have created by your design again, that as you have blessed us, that you invite us to be a blessing of others through spoken word. And so, God, may we take this truth this morning. May we take it as an encouragement. May we take it as a challenge. May we take it as an invitation from you that we can be your tongue, that we can be your love, that we can be your source of blessing and of the transfer of peace through the words of our mouth spoken. God, we do not see this as a message of punishment, of criticism, God. We receive this as a word spoken over us by you as an encouragement. For those of us who struggle where our tongue has not been a gift to others, where our words are stuck with inside us because we may feel selfish or bitter or angry, God, may you do a work in those places of our lives. We thank you that all places, all things can be made new, that you are gentle and healing and good, and you desire peace and wholeness in our lives through and through. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we end.
Take my hands and let me sing. Always only for you. Take my sin, let me sing. Always only for you. Take my sin, let me sing. 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 Take my
going to read the blessing from Numbers over you this morning in an amplified way, meaning I'm going to extend the words. And I'm going to invite you, if you're able, to open your palms up to receive this as a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, guard you, protect you, encompass about you with a hedge of safety. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, give you full attention in a favorable way, and give you peace, give you wholeness, health, security, serenity, well-being, contentment, harmony, an absence of negative stress, disturbance, tension, and conflict. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Amen. And will you find a person near you and just say to that person, the Lord give you peace. Let's do that together. The Lord give you peace. May you go in God's deep and abiding peace this week. If you would like prayer this morning, I'll be at the front. Otherwise, please enjoy some coffee and treats together. Go in peace.